The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
How about that phony story? I'm sitting in the back of the beast. I wasn't sure if I should be honored because I felt very strong. And I had these two big, strong Secret Service guys, and one guy could lift 350 pounds, no problem. And I said, take me to the Capitol. No, sir, can't do it. So I grabbed the steering wheel, the commandeer of the car. And he rebuffed me, she said. He rebuffed. So my hands fell around another powerful guy. And I started to choke him. I felt, you know, when the story came out, some people said, I never knew you were that strong physically.
President Trump's version of the harrowing account on January 6th, inside that SUV. You know, as I listen to that, he's obviously just mocking these people that come up with these preposterous lies. As you hear that and you realize just how preposterous, of course, we've kind of gone through that scene a time or two on this show as well. But as you hear how preposterous it was, I was thinking this morning, there were members on that committee, all of them, Liz Cheney and company, when they were hearing Cassidy Hutchinson describe exactly that, they were leaning forward, nodding. Oh, it was so compelling, so sobering. They believe, they really believe in the lies. And then even when they're exposed, they don't, like the president went on to point out there, they don't have the Secret Service guys come in for their testimony because they don't want the truth. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show through CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. You can also get to the live video stream through our very own website, thetrumpet.com. That's thetrumpet.com/live. Takes you right through to our live stream page, and of course you can get to the podcast on our website, through your devices. You can have them downloaded to your phones and that sort of thing. So any way that you can get around to the program, we're certainly happy that you can listen or view or both. We have so much to get to on today's show, so many clips lined up. It's one of those shows, truly, where we're going to try to compress 2 hours worth of material into the next, what is it, 51 or 52 minutes. And one of the things here right at the outset, you see the momentum in the primaries last week, all through the weekend with the CPAC convention. Of course, President Trump spoke at Waukesha, Wisconsin. I believe that was Friday night. And then you have these radical communist Democrats just ramming their legislation right on through, hustling back from summer vacation to try to hurt the American people. And then their spokespeople, and that would be 95% of the media, Joe Scarborough and Mika, they're there. I watched the first 5-10 minutes of that show this morning, and you see them talking about how that this is, I mean, Joe Biden is, he's, you combine the last years of Obama, the 4 years of Trump, and I mean, this is a president that's having a tremendous impact. They're really trying to sell the American people on the fact that it's Biden that has the momentum, that it's the radical Democrats that have the momentum. And I will give them this. They are relentless in their attack, but that's exactly what it is. It's not building momentum. It's attacking America. America under attack. And so they come through with this legislation, just 50-50, can't get one Republican to sign on. And after pressuring, no doubt, Manchin and Sinema, they finally cave to the pressure. And so here comes the mini version of the Green New Deal. And Democrats are giddy. And then Joe and Mika, they can't believe it. So much success. Chuck Todd on his station as well, going on and on yesterday about how much that this president, this fake president, we should add, has accomplished. This is, and this, by the way, all of it happening when Joe Biden's in the basement. I mean, if you think of it, now we've talked about how he's the perfect figurehead. He's the perfect puppet for Barack Obama. But I'm sure there's also instances where they really would just like to kind of shove him out of the way so that they could get the steamroller going even faster. And that's effectively what happened last week. He's in the basement, so to speak, yet again, with the COVID, the double whammy of COVID. Listen to how it's reported at the AP. It says, Biden steps out of the room and finds legacy-defining wins. He steps out of the room. He's confined to self-isolation. Then he comes out. He's got all these victories, says the AP, says Joe and Mika, says Chuck Todd. The momentum really and truly is on his side. And Mika going on and on this morning, he defeated COVID. Trump, they had to airlift over to Walter Reed. And here she's saying this about Joe Biden, who got the COVID twice after four jabs, all the Paxlovid. And she's there making fun of the drugs that Donald Trump took that brought him back to the White House after 2 days at Walter Reed. That's right. That's right. They are so sold on these false narratives. Cassidy Hutchinson, case in point. She described the scene that Donald Trump was just describing there. And everybody on the radical left, all of these communists in the media, said, this is it. This is going to destroy Trump. The walls are truly closing in. And then it's exposed as a fraud, and they move on to the next lie. That's the way they operate. The AP says here, over five decades in Washington, Joe Biden knew that the way to influence was to be in the room where it happens. But in the second year of his presidency, some of Biden's most striking, legacy-defining legislative victories came about by staying out of it. This is the AP saying it actually goes better when he stays out of the room. It's actually better when he's got the COVID and he's gone. It runs like the election when he's down in the basement. It's a perfect election. It shows you just how deep the swamp is. They do have control. They do have a lot of power. And that's what this latest legislation is all about. It's about amassing more power. And so it's a 50-50 split over the weekend. And here's the Vice President, Kamala Harris, and the Democrats in the chamber. I don't know if there are any Republicans there. But there they were to celebrate the fact that they're going to raise taxes on the lower class, the middle class, small businesses, the fact that energy costs are going to skyrocket even more than they have already, and the fact that they're going to be able to put billions, tens of billions of dollars to these pie-in-the-sky Green New Deal energy projects. Here's clip four.
On this vote, the yeas are 50, the nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the Vice President votes in the affirmative, and the bill, as amended, is passed.
As if Americans are not suffering enough already, Fox reported over the weekend, $369 billion on energy and climate efforts, over $300 billion in green loan guarantees, $80 billion to double the number of IRS agents to conduct audits. You think the number of IRS agents, if they're going to double that, you think these IRS agents are going to go after Paul Pelosi or Hunter Biden or George Soros? No. They're coming after you. They're coming after you. Listen to Ted Cruz. This was from... Well, let me just back up and let Joe Biden, he's trying to sell this was from Friday, and he's out there ahead of this legislation, excited because he's got Manchin on board, just got to get Sinema, and then we've got it. We can get across the finish line. Here's Joe Biden after he's coming out of COVID isolation for the second time, clip 12.
When it comes to the benefits of this bill, you don't have to take my word for it. nearly 130 economists, seven Nobel laureates in economics, I should say. I look forward to the Senate taking up this legislation and passing it as soon as possible. You know, I know most families are focused on just putting three meals on the table, taking care of their kids and paying their bills. Helping you do that is my job. That's a president's job as well.
All right, I didn't get the video on that, but that's Joe Biden trying to, as best he can, trying to explain this, how excited he is, and all these economists that are on board with it, and not doing a very good job at that. Now here's Ted Cruz. Here's Ted Cruz talking about the legislation yesterday on Maria Bartiromo's show. This is clip five.
This bill will hammer manufacturing. It will kill manufacturing jobs in this country. It will hammer small businesses. This bill will drive up gas prices. It has billions in new taxes on U.S. oil and gas production. This bill creates 87,000 new IRS agents. It doubles the size of the IRS. Those IRS agents are designed to come after you. They're not designed to come after the billionaires and the big corporations. They're designed to come after small businesses and working families across this country. The Democrats are making the IRS bigger than the Pentagon, plus the Department of State, plus the FBI, plus the Border Patrol combined. The IRS is going to be bigger. This is a massive power grab.
A massive power grab. And of course, to amass this kind of power, they're going to need a lot heavier taxation. So they've doubled the size of the IRS. They're tripling or quadrupling the funding of the IRS. And he could have added that in the last few months. They've spent $700,000, the federal government, on something like 5 million rounds of ammunition for the IRS. For the IRS, of all things. What do they need guns and ammunition for? Well, they're getting ammunition. They're getting a lot more. They've got an army. They've got a small army to collect of tax collectors to collect taxes. And then the Democrats out there saying, hey, if you pay your taxes, you don't have to worry about anything. Well, that's just the thing. As we've noted so many times on this program, the process is part of the punishment. And as far as crimes are concerned, the swamp has proven it's been quite capable of finding crimes when there aren't any crimes there. Case in point, General Flynn. They'll go and create crimes. That's all that they give them the army and they'll find the crimes. Look at what they're doing with the January 6th fraudulent investigation. 80 some thousand more agents to collect taxes. Here again, like Ted Cruz says, you think they're going after the Wall Street fat cats? Or are they going to go after ordinary Americans? That's why they want to raise taxes on the middle class. That's where the money is. Well, of course, you can get taxes out of the billionaires too. But you add the tens of millions of ordinary Americans, if they have to pay more. Imagine raising taxes, and I won't play the montage, but here's all these Democrats just 2 seconds ago talking about how you don't raise taxes during a recession. You don't raise taxes. And here they come over the weekend, and they raise taxes on middle America, small businesses. Is America under attack? They want to destroy the middle class because that gives them more power too. Now, the momentum, coming back to Joe and Mika and Chuck Todd and others, who has the momentum as far as the support of the American people? Well, that, just look at the elections from last week. I'm going to play for you a relatively long clip. This is from Donald Trump. This was the opening that he played before his speech at the CPAC convention over the weekend. Here's clip two.
We are a nation that has the highest inflation in over 40 years. Where the stock market just finished the worst first half of a year in more than five decades. We are a nation that has the highest energy cost in its history. And we are no longer energy independent or energy dominant, which we were just two short years ago. We are a nation that is begging Venezuela and Saudi Arabia for oil. We are a nation that surrendered in Afghanistan, leaving behind dead soldiers, American citizens, and $85 billion worth of the finest military equipment in the world. We are a nation that allowed Russia to devastate a country, Ukraine, killing hundreds of thousands of people, and it will only get worse. We are a nation that has weaponized its law enforcement against the opposing political party like never before. We've never seen anything like this. We are a nation that no longer has a free and fair press. Fake news is about all you get. We are a nation where free speech is no longer allowed, where crime is rampant like never before, where the economy has been collapsing, where more people died of COVID in 2021 than in 2020. We are a nation that is allowing Iran to build a massive nuclear weapon and China to use the trillions and trillions of dollars it's taken from the United States to build a military to rival our own. We are a nation that over the past 2 years is no longer respected or listened to all around the world. And we are a nation that is hostile to liberty and freedom and faith. We are a nation whose economy is floundering, whose stores are not stocked, whose deliveries are not coming, and whose educational system is ranked at the bottom of every list. We are a nation that in many ways has become a joke. But soon we will have greatness again. It was hardworking patriots like you who built this country, and it is hardworking patriots like you who are going to save our country. There is no mountain we cannot climb. There is no summit we cannot reach. There is no challenge we cannot beat. There is no victory we cannot have. We will not bend. We will not break. We will not yield. Ever, ever, ever. We will never give in, we will never give up, and we will never, ever back down. We will never let you down. As long as we are confident and united, the tyrants we are fighting do not stand even a little chance. Because we are Americans, and Americans kneel to God and God alone. And it is time to start talking about greatness for our country again.
I'll get to a couple quotes here from America Under Attack, and you'll see it squares pretty closely with that video you just saw there. But leaving aside momentum for a moment, which political party actually has the momentum? What about the truth? I mean, what part of that video there was untrue? I mean, maybe you could say, well, he's not coming back. He's not, but you watch that video and you see why they want to put him in jail. You watch the rallies like in Waukesha on Friday evening. You see why they want to put him in jail because they know they can't beat him. They know they're lying. They know when they say, hey, this is the Inflation Reduction Act. This $700 billion monstrosity. And then they come out and they look you in the eye and they say, this is going to reduce inflation. They lie. And there in that opening video for his speech at CPAC, I mean, one truth bomb right after another. And then he says, you know, we're coming back. This is from America Under Attack. The Bible actually prophesied what is now happening in America. It describes it as bitter affliction. This is 2 Kings 14. Bitter affliction. We're seeing it. I mean, you look at that $700 billion bill. I mean, that's some bitter affliction. And you've got all the communists cheering at the floor of the House, or the Senate, I should say. It says, the Bible actually prophesied what's happening in America. It describes it as bitter affliction. This book exposes the cause of the affliction. He's talking about America Under Attack. This book exposes the cause. I was told this morning, by the way, that there's been some production delays because of supply chain issues, paper delivery, that sort of thing. Now, you can be sure the devil doesn't want this book to ever see the light of day. He's doing everything he can to delay the receipt of this book. It's online, of course. It's at our website, thetrumpet.com. But it's something to be praying about, because the people of America, the people of the world, need this book. They, and here my father is describing it. He says, this book exposes the cause of this affliction. You see the cause behind it. Behind all those things that Donald Trump rattled off. Why is inflation out of control? Why are so many Americans hurting? Why are these federal agencies turning on Americans, attacking Americans? Why is crime out of control in the cities of America? America Under Attack exposes the cause. It's the only book that does so. And so if that's the case, you can be sure that the devil is going to do everything he can, as I say, to keep this book from ever seeing the light of day. It says, further, the Bible also prophesies that God will save America from this affliction in a specific way through a specific man. This book, America Under Attack, gives you advanced news of how God will relieve this bitterness soon, giving America its last chance at survival. So God's going to relieve the bitterness. There is going to be one more resurgence, or mini resurgence. It says further on, prophecy shows that Mr. Trump's role in U.S. politics is not over. And so we've been saying that ever since the election was stolen. But what happens when he returns to power will shock you. It is critical to see the devil's influence in what is happening, but you must also see God's hand. This gives you wonderful perspective, even amid some of the darkest days our nation has ever faced. It says, knowing why God is allowing this and how he plans to use these events to ultimately bless every American and every other human being will give you unsurpassed vision and hope. There is hope in this seemingly depressing message of America being under attack. There is hope. Even the attack itself is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy, as we've pointed out to you so many times. And this was something that Herbert Armstrong was prophesying back in the 1950s. Even before that, as we point out in the booklet, he was right. Listen to this. This clip is from yesterday, I believe. This, again, is the CPAC convention. This was Steve Bannon. He's got the podcast. He used to work for Donald Trump. He's a popular commentator now on the right. Listen to what he said in his CPAC speech yesterday, clip 11.
Divine providence works in mysterious ways. I was there. Donald J. Trump is providential. God worked through Trump. Stealing the 2020 election was providential. Yes, because now they flipped over all their cards. These aren't Democrats like in your old days. These are not Kennedy Democrats or guys from the 50s and 60s. These are radical, cultural Marxists that want to destroy this republic.
Add him to a long line of other commentators now, just in the last few years, not even that probably, that have said we're under attack by these radical Marxist revolutionaries. The chapter in He Was Right, we've had this book in print for 15, 20 years. I point you to America Under Attack, and the first year that came out, 2013, so even that, I mean, that's almost 10 years ago. Now, this one, though, this has been out 15, 20 years. I forget when the first version came out or when we added the chapter about the communist infiltration, but the title is The Communist Infiltration of America Was Prophesied. It was prophesied. Let me just read from the introduction of that article. If you don't have this, if you don't have it, I know I plugged it the other day. You can call our operators toll-free in the U.S. and Canada and the Caribbean, 1-866-930-3024. If you don't have He Was Right, and you can certainly put your request in for America Under Attack as well, but call our operators today. There's no cost, no obligation. Here we're getting all these tens of thousands of copies of this book, America Under Attack, coming from the printer, and we're just going to start distributing it free of charge to the one that receives it. I mean, of course, it costs money to get it printed and all those things. And we do have a faithful band of tithe-paying members of God's church and many others, co-workers and donors that contribute to this cause. But Jesus said, freely give, and you'll receive. God will take care of it. Luke wrote in Acts 20, I guess he was referring to that exchange that Paul had with those ministers in Ephesus, and a teaching of Jesus that it's more blessed to give than to receive. We want to give this message, this hope-filled message, to the whole world. And of course, Satan wants to blot it out. That has been his record ever since the death of Herbert Armstrong. Of course, he wanted to blot out Mr. Armstrong's ministry even before he died, and had some pretty good success in nearly doing that in the 1970s. But God used that man to restrain all of those evil influences, even when he was in his late 80s and early 90s. But then as soon as he's gone, as soon as he's out of the way, look at how relentless the attacks were against God's church, against God's people, just ordinary members of the worldwide Church of God. And now it's like we're getting an exact replay on a national level. You get rid of a restraining influence, so to speak, someone that wants to drain the swamp, and look at all of these swamp creatures. Steve Bannon's right. They've been exposed. Even the election steal, getting back into power through fraudulent means, has exposed them, because it's shown the world all of their cards. They're not held up to their chest anymore. Now they're beating their chest when they have this oppressive, back-breaking legislation that's going to hurt so many Americans, and they know it. They know it. And they just cheer on the fact that the IRS gets 80,000 more agents and all kinds of ammunition to go with it. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that wonderful? Who really has the momentum here? Who has the truth? That's a pretty remarkable clip, by the way, from Steve Bannon. The chapter in He Was Right, The Communist Infiltration of America, was prophesied. Listen to this. It's from He Was Right. It says, another remarkable forecast taking on new relevance in our day. It says, as Hitler's forces rampaged across Europe during World War II, the world's greatest capitalist nation, America, entered into a strange alliance with Britain, the greatest colonial power, and the Soviet Union, the greatest communist state. It says, when this happened, a peculiar phenomenon occurred across America, a popular wave of emotional fervor for the Soviet Union surged. How do you explain this? And who was warning about it, even as it was happening? That would be Herbert W. Armstrong. He was right. It says here, many influential men, magazines and newspapers, began fawning over Joseph Stalin. President Franklin Roosevelt went so far as to release a Communist Party USA leader, Earl Browder. Yeah, let's kind of cozy up to the communists. Why not? It says, during this time of trial and confusion, however, the strong voice of Herbert W. Armstrong warned the nation that both fascism and communism presented a threat to the American way of life. See, while everyone was focused on the spread of fascism and the fight against it in World War II, Mr. Armstrong was certainly talking about that. I mean, the rise of the Holy Roman Empire, that sixth head, it was prophesied too. But during that Second World War, and certainly right after, he sounded the alarm about the communist infiltration, the Marxist revolution taking place right at home, right within our founding institutions. It says, just as he warned that a fascist revival of the Holy Roman Empire would invade America, he also warned that America's rejection of God would allow communism to weaken the country to a degree that would make it susceptible to invasion. Should I read that again, that last bit there? He warned that America's rejection of God would allow communism to weaken the country to a degree that would make it susceptible to invasion. And so you get that, he was right prophecy in our He Was Right pamphlet. Put it together with the new book coming out anytime now, America Under Attack, and you get the whole story. And there is, as my father says in AUA, there is hope there. There is hope. This is one more quote, switching over to AUA now. It says, God already used President Trump once to save this nation from what Antiochus was doing. Now Obama, through Joe Biden, has returned with a vengeance. But the rest of this prophecy in Amos 7 shows that will not last. It says, this prophecy, speaking of Amos 7, means that somehow President Trump will soon recover his presidency. A stolen election and a presidency will be recovered. We will see Mr. Trump back in power soon. That will be positive for a little while. It says things will quickly improve in some ways, but only briefly. The curses will remain. When that happens, Americans will be down to their last time to repent. That same prophecy, by the way, Amos 7, talks about God making that one final pass. And so really, it's a last opportunity for us to repent as a people, as a nation. Because the sins, you see, just like it says in He Was Right, the sins of the people, our rejection of God, they've just opened us up to this communist infiltration. And now look at where we are. Hopefully you can, again, contact our operators and request your free copies of He Was Right and America Under Attack. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, we'd love to hear from you. You can email the program, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
Do you believe the United States of America has been mainly a positive force in the world for most of its history? Do you believe that America was at one time a great nation? The United States of America was founded on many biblical principles that were incorporated into the Constitution. This lent to its success and positive influence in the world. But the America of then is not the America of today. To anyone examining the current state of America, this should be alarming. It has been a great nation in time past and is experiencing a temporary resurgence in these end times, but it will only be exactly that, temporary. Our free booklet, Great Again, will explain America's status. It will prove that God has been intimately involved in the rise and resurgence of America under President Donald Trump. It will also explain why God is saving America temporarily, how He was doing it, and what is yet to come in America. There is a spiritual dimension to America's rise and decline as a superpower. This free booklet will explain this dimension and how God will soon make America truly great again. Request your free copy of our book, Great Again, at our website, thetrumpet.com.
Trumpet Daily.
This is the year we're going to take back the House. We're going to take back the Senate. And we're going to take back America. In 2024, most importantly, we are going to take back our magnificent White House. We're going to take it back.
Pretty big momentum builder yet again at another Trump rally, that from Waukesha, Wisconsin, over the weekend, or I guess it was Friday evening. And you can be sure, behind closed doors, these radical communists in power, they know, they see what you're looking at there. They see it. They see what's happening in the primaries. They see what's happened to that Congress, to the ones that voted for the impeachment. They're getting booted out of office. They see that they can't win. in votes. So that's why they want to put him in jail. And as I said to you on Friday, Dick Cheney said as much. He said the quiet part out loud. He revealed the whole purpose of the January 6th committee. This is clip 10.
Liz is fearless. She never backs down from a fight. There is nothing more important she will ever do than lead the effort to make sure Donald Trump is never again near the Oval Office. And she will succeed.
To lead the effort to make sure Donald Trump is never again in power. Never mind letting the American people decide that. Liz is leading the way. Liz, his daughter. Liz is about to get voted out of office herself. If you leave it to the American people, you see who has the momentum. You see who really does, who's building on that momentum with each passing day. And of course, added to that, that momentum building is the fact that there really are so many that are hurting in the United States. This follow-up on Carrie Lake, by the way, currently she's 35,000 votes ahead. They still haven't counted. It takes, you know, these days it takes 5, 6, 8 weeks to count a couple hundred thousand votes. You know this now. I mean, we learned that in 2020. There's elections that are actually still going on. The one with Joe Kent in Southwest Washington, he's about to overtake the Trump impeachment voter as well. They're a week into it. I think his competitor has 46,000 votes, and he's like 250,000, or no, it's 40,600, I believe it is. So we're talking about 80-some thousand votes. Kent said Friday there's still 30,000 yet to be counted. So he's probably going to, this is another Trump-supporting member or individual running for Congress. He's probably going to go overtake the impeacher, the one who voted for impeachment. But just the fact that it's taking so long to find out the results. Kent said on Friday there's still 30,000 more to be reported. No updates Saturday, no updates Sunday, no updates, as far as I can tell, Monday morning. I guess all of the counters, which probably would be about three people, they probably are on vacation now. So we'll find out as soon as we possibly can. But I told you all about the way they operate. Even when they're behind in elections, they delay, they stonewall, they drag their feet, they try to intimidate you into submission, into conceding. Carrie Lake's on to them, which is why they hate her almost as much as they hate Donald Trump. Listen to what she said on election. Actually, go back to CPAC as to why they hate her. Listen to what she says about securing Arizona's southern border. This is from the CPAC conference over the weekend, clip 6.
Article 1, Section 10 says that if we are in imminent danger, we're being invaded, and time is of the essence, then we can protect our own border. We don't need to wait for Joe Biden.
That's right.
We can't wait for Joe Biden. And so we're going to get down there. We're going to issue a declaration of invasion on day one, as soon as my hand comes off the Bible. We're going to send our Arizona National Guard troops to the border and stop people from coming. We're going to finish President Trump's wall. And as a state, we're going to remember that we are sovereign. We created the federal government. They didn't create us. And we're not going to sit here with Joe Biden rolling out the welcome mat to the whole world. We can't accept people illegally like this.
Now, besides the millionaires on the floor of the Senate cheering for that monstrosity of a bill, where is there any case, not that I know of, maybe there's a room full of Democrat supporters, voters, I mean, just ordinary voters, where they're hearing about this $700 billion monstrosity, and they're cheering like the people are cheering. The ordinary people that want, including the Hispanics in Arizona, by the way, that just want a secure border. And she's promising to do this. She's promising to finish Donald Trump's wall. And all the polls had her way ahead. And they counted all the absentee ballots first. And she was behind by 9 points on election night. And a reporter actually had the audacity to say, "Why aren't you conceding?" And she said, "Look, we're winning on the same day votes by 7-3. And when all the votes are counted, we're gonna win this thing. Listen to what she said on election night. This is clip 13.
So I want you to know the party is just beginning. They're continuing to count votes, and we are going to win. We won Election Day votes 7-3, and they have just begun counting our Election Day votes. But you know, this is how they do it. They want to try to take the air out of this movement. They don't want us celebrating. And we have every right to celebrate tonight, because when these votes are tallied, we will come out the victor.
This is how they do it. What's she talking about there? This is how they do it. When they know she, and look, she knew the direction it was headed. She used to work in the media for almost 3 decades. She knew she was going to win. Certainly, there had to have been journalists in the media that knew this as well. The other side had to have known. Nobody, as I said Friday, nobody was pressuring Robson to concede. It went on for 3 days. And as I read to you on Friday, the AP, all these people were saying, oh, so, Fox News even, razor thin, too close to call. She's ahead by 35,000 votes, 4.3%. She's ahead by 4.3 points. It's not even close. And 5% still hasn't been counted. She's going to stretch this lead. She's going to end up winning by 5 or 6 points. And yet the counting went on for 3 days. I told you all about the way that Fox reported the presidential election in November of 2020. They knew. They knew within an hour or two of the polls closing, they knew that Biden would win Arizona. How did they know? Because they knew it was close enough for them to manufacture enough votes to give it to Biden. That's how they knew. In this case, they knew she was going to win. They knew she had such a commanding lead that they couldn't come up with enough fraudulent ballots. And so they just stretched it out for as long as it would go. And they just didn't want her or anyone associated with her to celebrate on election night. They want to try to take the air out of the momentum that's building. Who has the momentum here? This is a woman, by the way, that spent the better part of her professional life in the media, there locally in Arizona. She only quit just a year ago, a little over a year ago, March of 2021. This is from AZ Central. It says, longtime Fox 10 news anchor Carrie Lake is leaving the Phoenix station after 22 years. This was a year and what, 4 months ago. And now she's very nearly to the point of being the governor of the state. It says Lake, who has been involved with various coronavirus controversies, hopefully not a lot of coronaviruses, over the last few years, announced her departure in a video posted on Twitter. This is a little excerpt from the video that she posted last March. Clip 14.
Sadly, journalism has changed a lot since I first stepped into a newsroom. And I'll be honest, I don't like the direction it's going. The media needs more balance in coverage and a wider range of viewpoints represented in every newsroom, at every level, and in each position. In the past few years, I haven't felt proud to be a member of the media. I'm sure there are other journalists out there who feel the same way. I found myself reading news copy that I didn't believe was fully truthful or only told part of the story. And I began to feel that I was contributing to the fear and division in this country by continuing on in this profession. It's been a serious struggle for me, and I no longer want to do this job anymore.
She knows, you see. This is how they do it, as she said on election night. Remember what she said to that reporter that was badgering her into conceding? She said to him, you should know that I'm winning 7-3 on the same day voting. She put it right back on him. She used to work in the field that he works in. She knows they're dishonest. She knows they were, in particular about coronavirus. She knew they were lying. She was receiving scripts at her Fox station, a Fox station, by the way, in Phoenix. And she knew that the producers and the writers, that they were concealing the truth. They weren't telling the whole story. And she had to get in front of the camera and read this stuff. And she felt conflicted. She wasn't proud to be a journalist anymore. So she quit. It's interesting to me to just kind of consider the parallels. Obviously, it's a different field. She in the field of journalism, Donald Trump with real estate. But just the sacrifices that these two have made for their country. Quite unlike all those Democrat senators on the floor cheering for inflation to go up, for ordinary Americans to be taxed more. She actually gave it up. She actually gave up probably a pretty good salary and certainly the fame that comes with working in the media in a big market like Phoenix. She turned and walked away. She gave an interview to Prager University earlier this year about what really prompted her in particular to walk away from journalism. This is clip 15.
COVID was really a moment of truth for me. I saw a neighbor who was the most beautiful 90-year-old woman I'd ever seen. The other day I saw her. She's in a walker now. She looks like she's aged 100 years in 1 year. She wasn't able to do her daily walking and swimming and because COVID scared everybody into their homes. I feel there was a narrative of let's keep this going really hard on COVID, COVID, COVID.
She was part of the narrative that was, that interview was from June of last summer, not this past year. So there she is just a month or two after she sends out the Twitter video saying, I quit. And then she says, you know, COVID really got to me. COVID was really a moment of truth for me. And she left, of course, right at the initial wave of all the propaganda about the vaccines. If 2020 was the year of COVID, 2021 was the year of the vaccine, even though more people died of COVID in 2021, as Donald Trump pointed out in that montage we played for you. This was from a news station in San Diego. It's a local affiliate. Call letters. KUSI. Good Morning San Diego. Listen to this report about the vaccines. This is not COVID, but the cure for the COVID. This is clip 7.
U.S. life insurance companies have reported an overwhelming and unexplainable increase in all-cause deaths among 18 to 49-year-olds. Along with that, there's also been an increase in certain medical diagnoses, such as miscarriages and Bell's palsy.
The medical data was released by three career military physicians who got the information from the military database that collects what we call ICD codes, which are the diagnosis codes. And these physicians had a feeling, they believed based on their own observation, that they were seeing a significant uptick in certain conditions. And they compared it to the incidence of those same things in the calendar year 2021 and saw an alarming increase in certain things. For example, they saw a 270% increase in myocardial infarction in 2021. A 300% increase in incidence of Bell's palsy and of certain neurologic complaints, a 470% increase in pulmonary embolisms, blood clots to the lungs, and many, many other huge increases that they found alarming. What happened in 2021 that was so different from the previous five-year average that would cause this massive increase in certain medical conditions?
What was it in 2021 that could cause this massive increase in all these health problems? Now, this is a woman that he interviewed on this segment in San Diego, and at least good for him in getting the truth out there. They still don't go quite far enough, though. They just ask the question, people are dying. Insurance companies are sounding the alarm. And now she actually is referring to these two bombshell reports, one from the insurance companies. They're talking about people from 18 to 49 in their prime working life. that they're dying mysteriously. And then there's this other report, the three military doctors that have opened up content from military databases to say, yeah, there's also all these other massive increases, 300% for Bell's palsy or all these heart conditions, myocarditis and everything else, the blood clots. You've heard all about it, certainly if you've watched this show. Here again, listen to this this woman from the field of medicine. Listen to what she said on that segment, clip 8.
In the previous study from the U.S. life insurance companies, many of them were reporting a 40% increase in deaths from all causes in the 18 to 49-year-old group. They know that because these are life insurance companies that provide group life insurance policies to employers. So these are working-age individuals with a 40% increase in all-cause deaths. That was a different report from this bombshell that came out last week from, as I said, three career military physicians who are culling a military database. So they are two groups of data that show, again, an alarm that something is going on. And the question is what?
You see, in a more honest age of reporting, this would be a scandal of epic proportions. This would run people right out of office. This would get Fauci and company fired. This would put a lot of people in prison. As it is, you hear Anthony Bourla on CNBC talking about the share price skyrocketing for Pfizer. Peter McCullough, we've played some clips from him before on this show. He spoke at a panel at the CPAC conference, and listen to what he said as to why there's been such intense pressure for people to just go along and to take the vaccine. This is clip 9.
Doctors were among the first to take the vaccines, even before nursing home patients. And so by that method, every doctor in America just about was indoctrinated into taking one of these vaccines. Then they learned about the risks later on. And I think it created a psychology among the doctors to say, listen, I took the risk. You're my patient. You should take the risk too.
Here again, just the only criticism I would have is not taking it far enough. Creating a psychology, it's indoctrination from the top. This is science falsely so-called, as the Apostle Paul wrote. It's the way the devil operates. Again, you can read all about that in America Under Attack. He sends the experts out, an army of them. All the doctors take it first, and then they insist that everyone else take it as well. Just everybody just goes along like sheeple. Just follow the pack. Follow the mob. And when the statistics start coming in that people are dying, well, just don't put it on the news. You've got propagandists in the media that can cover it up. Steve Hirsch at his blog. A doctor friend in Canada heard about 14 deaths of Canadian doctors over the last 9 months. But then the fact checkers, you put that in quotes, they rushed to the defense of the mob, saying that, well, now we can't be sure if it's in any way vaccine related. This is from Health Impact News. Six Canadian medical doctors died within 2 weeks after the fourth COVID booster shots for employees started at one hospital. Here's another one from the BBC. A Tipperary hurler has died after collapsing during a county senior championship game on Friday. He was 24 years old. This is now common, we're supposed to believe. These young athletes just keeling over on the ball field. Another one here. A high school student in Mississippi died after he collapsed on the field during football practice. He was 17. And then the insurance, you want more statistics? The insurance company saying that 40% uptick in sudden deaths for people of working age. It's all part of the attack, isn't it? America Under Attack. And he was right. And great again, as you heard in the promo. We should plug that a little more often as well. But look, we're out of time. We appreciate you joining us. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. And this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll see you again tomorrow.